Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and to my left is Mike Sklens.
Hello, folks.
And we've also got a very special guest on this episode. Johnny couldn't make it. He's still reeling in pain from the loss he suffered on Saturday from Florida State University.
Yeah, and also he's compounded by the fact that his precious Auburn Tigers got their asses kicked by another unranked team.
So filling in for him this week is our buddy Dan Dormer, who you'll know from the Player One podcast and his stuff on 1UP.com. He's written for The Escape, ESPN, and a whole bunch of other places. So
he also used to be my college roommate.
Yeah.
True story.
So we called in a favor.
Yeah.
Cashed in one of those checks. Like, hey.
That's right.
It's like The Godfather. One of these days we'll be called back and we'll have to shoot somebody in the face.
You know, this is very like FSU centric too. You know, all of us having gone or going to FSU, and then Godfather too, with Mark Weingartner being a professor at FSU and having written the two new Godfather books. So,
well, there you go.
It's very, very all Seminoles podcast.
Go Noles.
That's right.
Alrighty, so let's get right on into new business, which is basically, you know, what are we playing? What's new with us?
I beat Metroid Prime. Oh, 3.
Is it still a pile of suck?
It's not a pile of suck. It's just a pile of linearity and not that goodness. I mean, it's good. It's just not great. And all the bosses are way too easy. And I think Dan Dormer will agree with me.
Well, I never thought that Metroid would be equated with mediocrity in gaming. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened, unfortunately. And, you know, it does prove it's a good game in terms of proving that a first-person shooter can work on the Wii. But other than that, it's... It gets uninspired late in the game, unfortunately.
See, that's I think it's kind of the opposite. I thought the third pirate planet was maybe that's spoilers. No, it's not spoilers. The pirate planet was I thought the best area of the game and the most true to the Metroid style of like a maze of rooms that were very interconnected. The first two planets are just like giant. Oh, the first three planets are just giant hallways, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. I still haven't played the game yet. I'm poor.
You should, if Mike hadn't sold his copy, you should have borrowed it.
It's right in front of him. I'm going to take it with me.
It's not sold yet.
I'm taking it with me. But, and I should mention, actually, since we're talking about stuff with the site, that NintendoReport.com is hiring. We're looking for a few good men to be community manager, a European correspondent, and a Japanese correspondent. So if you feel like you could be filling in one of those roles... Apply over to, I don't remember what the email address is exactly, but go to the site. And,
Apparently, though, they're hiring only men, so women don't apply.
No vaginas allowed.
Yeah.
Makes us nervous.
We tried that once, I don't think it worked out so well.
No, it didn't.
No, that's not true. We have Carly, and she's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But no one ever hears from Carly.
She's all the way in Europe land, so.
Yeah, that's true. Although we heard from Lasse.
Yeah, but he's a man, so.
That's true! It's because of the vaginas. Anyway, so yeah, if you feel like you could, devote hours now as your time for no pay at all, head on over to NintendoReport.com and fill out an application.
That's right. Wow, bolster out your
portfolio. You guys make it sound so appealing.
It is so awesome to work here.
It's going
to
look great on Carl's resume.
Really. Edits podcasts for nothing each week.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and move on into our community segment, which is, first up, Mike's crazy mailbag.
Yeah, my mailbag tirade rolls on where I will... Assuredly, no matter how ridiculous the question, answer the first question that makes it into the mailbag every week.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's is from Wink.
They're like six L's in a row.
The question is, if you could go on a trip to Saturn or stay on Earth and eat a delicious sandwich, which would you do? And he follows this up with, what if the sandwich gave you magical powers but only for 15 minutes? That's assuming I was going to go to Saturn, but I want the sandwich.
I would want the sandwich.
I would take the sandwich first because I would die if I went to Saturn.
Okay, but here's the thing. Maybe the magical powers, transportation.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe I can transfer my Saturn, yeah. Intergalactic travel.
Okay, so if the sandwich is going to give you one power, what's the power going to be? Is it going to be teleportation?
It's X-ray vision, dude. Come on.
Really? X-ray vision?
That's kind of lame.
Do you know where we go to school?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Do you really want to give every single girl here radiation poisoning?
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe it'll make them smarter.
I'll give them something.
No, you won't.
Oh, maybe it'll make him go to the clinic.
I'm sorry, no, that's the University of Florida.
Oh, dis. Alright. But actually it goes on to a real question.
Real question, yeah. His question is, on a serious note, is Rock Band coming to the Wii this year or what? It's coming to PlayStation 2, so they can't claim that graphics are an issue. That's true. It is coming to the PlayStation 2, but it's not coming to the PlayStation 2 until next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys from Harmonix have said that they do want to do a Wii version, and it's almost assuredly going to happen. It just hasn't. It still hasn't been officially announced or anything.
Right.
But it's happening, but we it'll happen, know it. Just not this year. Yeah. So save your bucks or buy an Xbox. Guitar Hero 3 will have to be your holdout for now.
Well, okay, yeah. So you said save your bucks or buy an Xbox?
That, yeah.
It doesn't work together, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Good point.
And he also has another question, which is, do we think that we'll ever have virtual console downloads on the DS? And he's not talking about Game Boy games. He's talking about, you know, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Genesis games.
This is like a pipe dream for, I think, every Nintendo Wii DS owner out there, that you can take the games you have bought on your Wii's virtual console and transport them over to your DS, just like you would buy music from iTunes and keep it on your computer and your iPod.
Yeah, what are you going to store it on?
I mean, I know they could create some sort of cartridge that plugs into the Game Boy slot that's just a, you know, a couple chunks of memory,
I guess. But I mean, I don't know. It would definitely be nice.
And you know, the DS has internal memory.
Yeah, no, but is it enough to hold?
It's enough to hold
an NES game, yeah,
or an SNES game, or a Genesis game, and probably a TurboGrafx game. Maybe not an N64 game, but no. It could hold any of those. Maybe not a TurboGrafx game, but it could hold any of those other three consoles on the internal memory. You just wouldn't be able to turn the system off.
Right, right.
So I would say, you know, maybe if they came out with some sort of memory cartridge, you could slide into the Game Boy / accessory slot.
Yeah, it'd definitely be nice. I just don't see it happening because, I mean, virtual console sales are still pretty healthy. There's no reason to kind of, like, you know, add another incentive now. I mean, they're adding consoles, like, every other day. I mean,
how many... they got Neo Geo, and they've got the Turbo CD coming soon.
Yeah,
so
I mean, really, it's I don't see it happening anytime soon, but it would be nice.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see it happen that it would, like, with due to some sort of copyright DRM thing, that it would only be first-party Nintendo titles that were eligible to be transferred.
Could be. Moving on to our actual listener mail. It's actually a more off-topic question, but I thought it was relevant anyway. On the subject of Radio Free Football, which is what we call our little football segments here, Andy says, "Go Noles!" Just kidding. Nebraska was robbed 93. Go Big Red.
Yeah, I don't think so. We won that. Sorry, buddy.
I don't know.
I walk into the football stadium, national champions, 1993. It's at our stadium, not at yours. So
you were telling me that there's actually like a controversy.
No, I think it. I think that was the Virginia Tech game in 99. Okay. I could be wrong, though.
Well, so, any team that loses is going to say they were robbed. So.
Especially if they're the Florida Gators.
It's a little sore, you know, still. Yeah. You
know, sub yours, later. Nebraska. Suck it up.
Yeah. Get over it. You weren't going to beat USC. Sorry.
Rub some dirt in it. But yeah, don't actually rub some dirt on it. You know, that'll cause an infection. Yeah.
Good. All right. Oh. And so soon we're actually going to go to our first commercial break. When we come back, it's the NPDs, so stay tuned. Okie doke, folks, and we're back. First up, Virtual Console Mondays, Super Thunderblade on the Genesis, which is supposedly made of suck.
Yeah, our site director says it's not that good. He's the one who played it this week.
Yeah, it's like he described it as Star Fox with a helicopter and no Mode 7.
Oh.
So take that for what it's worth. Yeah.
So it's like Space Harrier with a helicopter and not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't download it. Not recommended for anyone. Then World Classic Baseball on the TurboGrafx 16, which is described as "quote unquote the premier baseball game on the TurboGrafx 16."
Were there any other ones?
I don't think
I'm not aware. I mean, I never owned a TG16, so I couldn't tell you.
But. I mean, people are going to drop like $8 or $10 on like a TurboGrafx game. They should just put that towards MLB Power Pros, which is coming out on the Wii.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Which is hot.
And finally, our third game is Yoshi's Story for the N64, which I got. I don't know. Ages ago, when I was in like middle school, or I know I must have, well, I forget how old I was when that game came out.
And I'm sure it's just as good as Yoshi's Island, right?
No, it's not as good as Yoshi's Island. It looks pretty, and it's like a really good concept, and it's actually pretty fun. The way the levels are structured is like it's a set of storybook worlds, and each world has four levels, but you only have to go through one of the levels to get to the next world. And a lot of people harped on it for being really easy, but those are the people who chose the easiest level in each of the four worlds.
Right.
Or in each of the I think it was 7 or 8 worlds. So if you play the hardest levels in each world, it was a little more challenging. Still wasn't hard, though.
I mean, I remember Yoshi's Story for being on the cover of the first game magazine I ever bought.
Oh.
Which was like, I think it was like a 90...
You are young.
Yeah, it was like a 97 issue of Game Fan.
Wow, and Game Fan, that's an old magazine, Carl.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Older there were so many game magazines back in the day, like a lot more than there are today.
Oh yeah, obviously. I mean, now with the internet, you know, yeah. People like us destroying print day by day.
Well, that's what it was. You know, now it's all, you know, a million websites. It used to be a million print mags,
I guess. But yeah, you know,
I would say recommended for fans. I mean, I'm not the one writing the review of it, but I would say recommended for fans. You know, if you like really love Yoshi, and if you really liked Yoshi's Island, you would like Yoshi's Story. And for $10, it's actually a pretty good game. I would definitely could say for $10, not for the original like $50 or $60 it sold for, but $10 is a definite good price for what you're getting out of that game.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay, so moving on to our August NPD, we've got the Nintendo Wii up in front with 403,000 units.
DS unseated.
Well, it was like that last month too.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The Wii was 425,000 last month, and the DS was 405.
So there you go. We can't be stopped.
Can't stop. Apparently not. But they did sell 403,000 units this year, or this month.
This month. So, and then...
Over the past month.
Right. And then the Nintendo DS ran into that with 383,000, which, you know, still going extremely strong. I mean, what's coming out on Wii and DS in the past month? I mean, besides Metroid.
Metroid. And that's... My Sims is out, like, on tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that'll
probably be pretty big.
You think so?
I don't know if it'll be any good, but it's The Sims. It'll be huge.
I guess. Under the DS is the Microsoft Xbox 360, 276,000, respectable. That was with the price drop, right?
Yeah, they dropped their prices. So, I think the price drop hit last month.
Yeah, so... And I remember last month, that's way up from last month, isn't it?
Probably.
That's up from last month, and that last month, it still sold above the PS3 when they announced that the systems were faulty, so...
Yeah.
And when Sony announced the fire sale, so...
Yeah.
That's still going on, you know.
Next up, it's the PS2 with 202,000. Again, what's on PS2, but hey, whatever. PSP sells 151. I have to think that it's going to get a boost for this... Well, no, not for this month, because Crisis Core doesn't come out in the States this month, but in any case, I think that's definitely going to boost the worldwide numbers for it.
Oh, yeah, well, it did huge. Crisis Core did huge numbers in Japan.
Yeah, and I think it was, they had like 77,777 limited edition PSPs, and they probably all sold out. So.
Oh, yeah, come on. Japan's crazy for limited edition systems. I don't even understand. People over there must own like 3 or 4 versions of every handheld system.
Yeah.
Because they're always coming out with special editions.
But they can actually fit the handheld into their apartment. Whereas a 360, that's it.
No, that's why the PlayStation 3 is failing too, obviously.
It does look a bit like a small grill or an oven.
Yeah, with a Spider-Man font on it.
Well, yeah. Spider grill. And last up, it's the PS3 with 130,000, which is down from last month. But still, you know, they're
no Game Boy numbers this month, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they're staying out of that, you know, below 100,000 mark, which is what they were doing for a while there, so that's always good. And then, yeah, we got the top 10 games for, or the top, yeah, the top 10 games for the month. First up, it's, of course,
number Madden. One and number two, Pokemon-like domination of the NPD charts by John Madden Football.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, here's the big story, though. The top-selling version of Madden on the 360.
Well, it's not surprising, they got more consoles out there.
But
and
it's,
it runs,
no, I mean,
and
it
runs
close.
At 60 frames.
It's still close, even though way more PlayStation 2s.
Yeah, there are way more PS2s out there.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought that said PS3. Oh,
no,
wow, that's huge.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, it is now the dominant version of Madden, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's saying that the Madden fans have moved to next generation.
Oh, and I'd like to say BioShock took number 3, almost 500,000 units sold. So thank you for buying such an excellent game.
It'd be nice if it deserved it, but hey, you know.
Oh,
I'm just
kicking you off the show. Dan Dormer will kick you off the show, and he's the guest.
Yeah, come on. No insulting, you know, System Shock 2 spiritual successor, BioShock.
All right.
And Nintendo clocks in first. Their highest seller month was Wii Play, again, with the
again.
Remote.
Again.
About a quarter of a million units.
That's stupid.
Lord, I hate
Lots
Wii
of
Play.
People buying new Wiis want that extra controller, and they're like,
I understand
why not get
that.
A game for $10?
I understand that. But it's not a real game. It's a pack-in. I continue to believe that it shouldn't be counted as a game. But,
well, they don't count Wii Sports. Otherwise, that would have sold 403,000 units this month.
Yeah.
Right, but unlike that, you know, the UPC is registered with NPD and with retailers as a game, not a peripheral. That's why
it's a game with a $40 peripheral.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you think that a Lynx crossbow training is going
to
be counted?
Oh, no, God. Do we have to bring that up again?
I'm just saying.
No, that'll definitely be counted, I think.
Or is it going to be counted as a peripheral?
Depends. If it's, you know, the peripheral with, you know, the packing, it'll probably be, you know, counted as an accessory.
If it's got software in there, it'll probably be counted as software.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything to boost Nintendo's numbers.
Right. Of course, Metroid Prime 3 sold 218, which is respectable.
I guess.
Well, it's passable because this is the August MPD and came out on, what, the 28th of the month?
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's a fantastic number for only
like
a couple days.
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll see it higher up on the list next month.
Yeah.
Mario Strikers Charged on the Wii, which I have not played since we played it, Mike.
Yeah.
I have not played that in a long time, but it's okay. It's a good game. Guitar Hero 2 with guitar, no surprises there. Mario Party 8, still selling strong.
Come on, that's what happened. Mario Party... I mean, there's a reason Nintendo keeps making crappy Mario Party games, and it's because people keep buying crappy Mario Party games.
I got into an argument with somebody this past week about Mario Party.
Oh, do go on.
I was actually on a date this past week, and the girl was talking about how much she loves her GameCube, how much she loves Mario Party. And
you were like, Gandalf, right?
Yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah, I love Mario Party. And I bit my tongue because I wanted to say, oh, that game is freaking horrible.
No, yeah, well, it's a good move. That could have been a rookie mistake, Carl.
Rookie mistake.
You kept your head in the game.
I could have walked out right there, but I didn't.
Yeah. We could have had to bring the stretcher out onto the field. It would have been terrible.
So, yeah, I kept my mouth shut, but later on, I told somebody off.
God, I hope she doesn't listen to this. You're in trouble now, dude.
Holy crap, I think I told her about that. Oh, okay, anyway. We will edit this out later. Anyway, so Mario Party. How about that Mario Party, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then number 10, Guitar Hero Encore rocks the 80s.
Which, whatever. Anyway, yeah, that'd
be cool if it wasn't a ripoff at the price.
Right. Well, yeah, that's our NPD software for the month, folks. Moving on to the other news. Wii is number one worldwide.
Sort of related news.
Sort of related news, yeah. Wii is number one worldwide compared to the Xbox 360. Finally outsold it worldwide.
How impressive is that? It took them, what, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July.
Nine months.
You could have had a baby.
Yeah. And
if you had a vagina.
Well, yeah.
Nintendo did have a baby. A cash baby.
Yeah.
Bam!
Apparently.
Bam!
Solid gold babies dropping out of the Nintendo maternity ward.
So, yeah, now you have to wonder, do they deserve it?
Well, you know what? They deserve it because they did it. I mean, the Xbox has been on sale for 21 months at this point now.
Yeah.
And Nintendo has surpassed the Xbox platform in less than a year.
I mean,
while the Xbox was still selling plenty of units.
I'm not going to say they deserve it. I kind of think it's like Barry Bonds, you know? Nintendo juiced. They sold a lot. Yeah, they did great. But
I don't know. I don't see an asterisk on these NPDs.
There? Is the substance there?
That's what I'm saying.
Months. Maybe when there's, you know, Super Mario Galaxy out there, when there's Smash out there, I'll say, yeah, they deserve it.
This
it's
has become
hype still.
This has become Radio Free Sports references this week, apparently.
Well, that's what happens when you invite, you know, a sports fan onto the show.
Yeah, there you go.
Your mistake.
All I'm saying is, you know, worldwide leader, where are the third-party games?
It's still surprising they are the worldwide leader with, like, and there's not a lot of games. The Xbox definitely has more games available. I mean, not just, obviously, overall, because it's been out longer, but on a month-by-month basis, there are definitely more Xbox 360 games coming out.
Well, actually, it still shows how important Japan is of a market, too, because if Microsoft was actually competing in Japan, they probably wouldn't have passed them, you know, for at least a month or two. But since, you know, it's their non-competitor in Japan, you know, Microsoft is obviously
going
to fall behind worldwide. I think what's more important to them at this point is maintaining a strong sell-through rate in America, you know, while being, you know, pretty much dominated by Nintendo and hoping that at some point, the PS3 sales drop off, and they can cannibalize whatever PS3 sales were there. You know, turn them into 360 owners.
Really, guys, you don't think Eternal Sonata is going to do it for them in Japan?
Well, Eternal Sonata is coming out on the PlayStation 3 in Japan too, though, and in America. So everyone's just going to hold out.
I'm sure. Everyone's waiting on that Eternal Sonata, man. Screw BioShock.
What? What?
You make no sense, Carl.
Your Eternal Sonata confuses me.
Eternal Sonata was an enjoyable demo, and I might not actually pick up the game, but it's no BioShock.
Whatever.
Just go pick up the Dreamcast and play, you know, the Skies of Arcadia or something. Yeah,
I do like Skies of Arcadia.
Similar looking,
a lot,
you know.
Yeah.
Skies of Arcadia. Ouch.
I saw in Gaming Ages like Gap Predictions thread, there was another holdout of maybe they'll announce Skies of Arcadia 2.
I mean, dude, if Knights 2 can happen, why not?
I would shit a brick if Skies of Arcadia 2 was announced this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you a big fan of that game?
Yes. I love Skies of Arcadia. It's probably my favorite RPG.
I like it. It's got a good story, but eh, the battle system's a little tired.
The GameCube version is better.
Yeah, that's the one I had. I mean, whatever. We'll, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to say that the random battles were a pain in the ass.
You didn't play it on Dreamcast.
Yeah,
it was even worse.
That was torturous.
Yeah.
But it was still a great game. Come on.
Oh, yeah. All right. It was fun.
It was a Sky Pirate world, but it was completely balkanized, just like, you know, the real world, where, you know, the Europeans are in the West and they have their Industrial Revolution, and then if you... or in the East, rather, and if you go to the Southwest area, it's like, oh, look, there's, like, the jungle place, and, like, the restaurant was right where America would be on an Earth globe. It was completely balkanized. It was amazing.
It was cool. I liked it. But speaking of dead systems, the PC Engine CD-ROM come into the Virtual Console.
So you can play, what is that game?
You can finally play Chouinki, all you Nintendo fans have never played it before.
Yeah. Carl and I just watched the Broken Pixels, 1UP's Broken Pixels from last week before recording this so he could show me Chouinki. And it is, I don't mean to be offensive here, I don't think I really am being, I think it's am being offensive, it's just fact that this is probably the gayest fighting game ever.
It prides itself in its homoeroticism.
It's essentially, if you haven't heard of Chouinki, it's a game where all the characters are like these really buff, muscle-bound, like, dudes in thongs who fight each other. But then it's also, like, some crazy anime-inspired stuff where one of the characters is actually, like, a flying battleship. And the battleship is a woman, like, kind of bent over on her knees, and the battleship is her back. But then on top of the battleship are three half-naked, muscle-bound dudes who she uses as weapons.
Yeah. It's strange.
And then there's a large naked man in a floating bathtub.
Yeah. And he kind of has his hand stretched out very, he's got a limp at the wrist.
It's, you know, just the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your life.
I'm going to download it.
If you guys think that it sounds like a fun time, you're right.
Yeah. It's certainly something to laugh at. I mean, it's just like so completely over the top.
Yeah. It's I'm going to download it just for the novelty factor. Sure. At least that's what I'm going to tell everybody.
There's lots of new stuff coming to the Virtual Console. The Neo Geo games are coming to the U.S. soon. I know this has been announced before.
Yeah, for Japan, but now it's official that it's coming to the U.S. For $9 a game, which is cool.
Which is $9 a game is a much better deal than, you know, buying the arcade cartridges for, like, however, like, many hundreds of dollars they cost back in the day.
Dude, that's a freaking bargain.
Yeah, $9.
I mean, literally, weren't you just taking, like, the ROMs from the arcade and
no,
just
that's
sticking
exactly
in the
console? No, that's exactly what it was. The console was, like, an arcade board that hooked up to your television, and the ROM, the cartridges, were just the arcade ROMs in a plastic box that you plugged into your console.
Truly the PS3 of its day. Anyway, nice. And last up on our news story docket, Guitar Hero DS is going to have peripheral, which is freaking weird.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago when they announced Guitar Hero DS existing, but it's official that it will have a peripheral, which I guess that's kind of no news to me. Like, obviously they're going to do something because Guitar Hero is built around a peripheral.
I mean, is it going to be like a mini guitar?
I'm kind of thinking it'll be some sort of like mini ukulele thing that plugs into the Game Boy slot, and I don't know, like it's got buttons on it, and maybe you strum like you do in jam sessions.
You know, I always thought that the guitar for Guitar Hero just looked just a hair above what a Fisher-Price guitar would look like, and now I think whatever comes out for the DS version is going to look like a Fisher-Price replica, unfortunately.
For four-year-olds even, because it'll be so small.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, it's just the thing is like, okay, so you've got this peripheral in your hands, which is probably going to be, you know, bigger than a DS is. So you're putting the DS down, and so you're basically, you got a portable version of Guitar Hero, but at the same time...
No, I think that it's going to be more like the DS snaps into the controller and becomes part of it, so you don't have to put it down.
Okay, but then how are you going to see the notes?
Yeah.
Bend the screen up at a 90-degree angle, so you're looking down at it.
That sounds like a fun time.
Oh, it sounds horrible, but that's the only thing in my mind that I can possibly envision remotely working.
That sounds...
You want to go shoot yourself with a nail gun later? Yeah, that's as much fun.
Yeah. That sounds really cumbersome.
Who knows? Maybe you'll put it down on a table and it'll be like a little wire that connects and you'll play like your little ukulele. I don't know. Which is still would be terrible because then you can't play it while you walk around unless you have a friend walking around holding it in front of you or something.
I mean, it just seems so stupid. Just don't do it, people. Stop development of this game now.
Yeah. Why would you buy this? And it'll probably, you know, they're not going to fit a whole ton of songs on there and they're going to be really compressed and crappy sounding.
Well, I mean, Elite Beat Agents had okay sound.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so as long as, like, they'll put probably, like, what, like a dozen songs on there?
Yeah, exactly. Guitar Hero usually comes with 40 or 50 songs. So, well,
you know, you buy
this
Guitar
Hero. Only be $30 also.
Guitar Hero, you know, the game alone is, what, like $40? 40, 50?
Well, it's 50 on a next-gen console.
Or 50 on next-gen. I mean, if they sell this for, what, like 30?
That's well, maybe they'll probably sell it for 40 because it'll come with a peripheral.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, see, I don't know. See, this game just sounds through and through like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sorry, Activision. Okay, folks, stick around for our next segment, which is our thoughts on the Tokyo Game Show. See you around. Alrighty, guys, it's our last segment of the show. TGS 2007, what are we expecting to see for Wii and DS? What are we excited about? And first up on my list here is Knight's Journey of Dreams, which got delayed recently.
Yeah, this is a pretty, hot game. Everyone, you know, who used to be a Dreamcast fan, which is a lot of people out there.
What, you mean Saturn fan?
Yeah, Saturn fan, sorry.
Yeah.
But not as many people.
Not as many people, admittedly. Yeah, but I mean, was Knights a big seller on Saturn? I always forget.
Well, for a Saturn game, I believe it sold very well. It was, you know, it was always very heralded as like a great game and innovator, and it had that, you know, it had the progenitor to the Dreamcast controller came with the game.
It just always seemed like it had like that very niche hardcore following for a game that probably wasn't that great. I don't know, I never played it.
I mean, I remember playing it, you know, at like Toys R Us when they had the Saturn display there. You know, my parents wouldn't spring, you know, for like a $500 console or whatever.
Right, right.
I was never impressed by it. You know, maybe I don't have the same, you know, rose-tinted glasses that people are wearing to look back
Sega
fondly
fanboys,
on
really.
Knights.
Yeah.
But I don't see the appeal for it. But hey, you know, if people like it.
And it's fun, it's also being developed by the same guys behind Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh. Well, at least he doesn't have a gun.
Yet.
I'll say that about it.
Yet.
And at least it doesn't end in, like, I don't know, some, like, crazy existentialism.
He kills the kids.
Hey, wait for the demo.
Yeah.
Wait for the demo.
He kills the kids Bioshock style.
That doesn't make any sense.
Where you kill the little
girls? Yeah, I got it, but no.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
You're
not allowed to talk about it unless you played it, Carl.
What the hell, man? I can't make Bioshock jokes?
No.
All right, fine.
Jeez. You're disallowed.
Okay, you can make good
Xbox.
Bioshock jokes.
Give me your Xbox and I will play Bioshock,
that
please.
Ain't happening.
Yeah, okay.
Halo 3's out on Tuesday. Are you kidding me?
All right, fine. Next up, Super Swing Golf 2. If you'll remember, on NintendoWorldReport.com, our Super Swing Golf game review was blasted by the community. Because,
was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, Stan gave it a 3.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, go Stan. And it was the last thing he ever wrote for us.
Coincidence?
Yeah, they ran him out of town, really. But yeah, supposedly it really sucked.
Also on this TGS list is Capcom's We Love Golf.
Yeah, that's by Camelot, and we talked about that a bit last week.
These are the same people who have made, if you're a Nintendo fan, you probably know of Mario Golf and Mario Golf Toadstool Tour, and they've also made the, what are they called, the Hotshots Golf games
right.
for PlayStation series.
Well, they made the first one.
The first one.
And they were also behind some stuff back in the day, you know, Shining in the Darkness and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's really been, they're a really good developer, and the buzz around this game has been so far pretty strong. Also on the
Johnny
list,
will be excited. The new Rygar is going to be a TGS.
Yeah, I've seen some screens and it doesn't look that impressive, to be honest.
What's up with Johnny? This new trend of bringing back all these awful, awful games?
I mean,
yeah. I mean,
the PS2 Rygar didn't do very well, did it? I don't think so.
No, it did not.
But supposedly, wasn't it like okay?
Ratings, but yeah.
I mean, like gameplay wise, it was okay.
I think the idea is that there's a lot of people who used to play video games who are back into them, and maybe you can squeeze some extra life out of these dead franchises.
Perhaps. But something that, Mike, you were saying you were kind of interested in was Opuna.
Yeah, this is that RPG that you play entirely with the nunchuck.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just think that's interesting in its own concept of you play this game with a joystick and two buttons.
Honestly,
and some tilt sensing.
I'm just surprised that Koei is doing an original IP on Wii.
I'm surprised Koei's doing original IP anywhere.
Yeah, seriously.
Or a new IP, at least.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, Dynasty Warriors 87 or whatever.
Right. Also here, a game after my own heart, No More Heroes.
Oh, God, we have to talk about this game every week. Dan, if you didn't
know... You're not excited about No More Heroes?
Are you really... Dan, I think you and Carl need to talk more often, because Carl's the only person I know who really cares about No More Heroes. After Carl loved Killer7, so...
Dude, Suda did a fantastic panel at GDC, and I know you weren't there, but it was awesome.
Dude, No More Heroes is going to be so sick.
You're so sick. You're gonna come back to the party late, Mike, and be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe how awesome No More Heroes is."
I played Killer 7 at E3 one year, and it wasn't that good. So why should I get my hopes up for a game by the same company?
You know,
it doesn't look as bad.
It doesn't look as bad.
I didn't like Killer 7, but
really,
what I've seen. No, I didn't like.
You Killer say 7. That. You say that every time someone says I didn't like Killer 7. You're the only person, dude.
No, I can't.
He's not the only person. There are other people who like it. But No More Heroes looks interesting to me, especially, you know, in the interviews, the relations to Grindhouse, you know, being an inspiration on the game, I think is really cool. And you being such a, you know, fan of Grindhouse, I'm surprised you didn't hear about that and, you know, just kind of like a latch onto that fact.
Well, it's just that, you know, it's Killer 7 that's doing all the anti-hype for me, so... We'll see.
You know, got like a lightsaber. Come on, that's StarCraft love and Grindhouse
Star
love.
Star Wars love. You said StarCraft.
Whatever. I'm making you play Killer 7.
Okay, I'll borrow it. You lend it to me,
I'm bringing it over for the show next week, and you're freaking playing all the way through it.
We'll do a session where I play it and just talk about it as I play it.
Exactly. It'll be like Mystery Science Theater, only it'll be a good game.
And it'll be audio only.
Anyway, but yeah, No More Heroes looks great because, like, I mean, it's actually going to have some real meaty gameplay. I mean, Killer 7, though I love it, I mean, it was basically Target Practice, the game.
Yeah.
It was good Target Practice with great feeling, but... It still was Target Practice, but No More Heroes. Like you can do suplexes and all these different wrestling moves. You can do all these different sword techniques. It looks really great. There are going to be a bunch of really dramatic boss fights. Everyone's going to love it. Okay, better.
Well, Carl's coming after you.
Seriously. Also, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles is going to be at the show, which I am kind. I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm right now on Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles. I mean. I thought that I mind it being
but you liked Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition, so...
I love Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition, but this is not like Resident Evil 4. It's kind of a light gun game. I mean, it's an on-rail shooter.
I'm almost hoping they leave all the quirky stuff like Master of Unlocking in it.
Was that a remake? I don't remember.
No. They fixed some of the dialogue in the remake, but I'm hoping that, you know, since it's like a shooting gallery game... Like, I sort of expect it to be sort of schlocky, and I would almost prefer to have stuff like the Master of Unlocking and, you know.
Well, if it wasn't in Remake,
Chris's Blood and that stuff.
I mean, they're kind of taking that to be, like, you know, the canon now, I think. So,
yeah.
If it's not in Remake, it's probably not going to be in Umbrella Chronicles. But, I mean, it could be... this is a game that could be good or could be really, really bad.
I think it'll be good. I mean, it's a light gun game.
Right.
And as a light gun game, I think it'll be really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing Capcom does have that's supposed to be really, really good is Zack and Wiki Quest for Barbaro's Treasure, which is kind of a hybrid adventure
puzzle game,
and it's supposed to be really difficult.
All the old school gamers are in love with this game because it reminds us of playing Monkey Island and stuff like that.
I think Parent Kaplan's lover, Matt Casamassina of IGN, was the first one to get the hype train started for it.
Yeah, he was definitely, yeah, if he didn't start the train, he was the guy who blew the whistle and shouted all aboard.
Yeah, he is apparently, like, they started, like, a You Must Buy Zack and Wiki campaign.
Yeah.
Which and apparently they haven't done since Eternal Darkness,
yeah.
Which, speaking of games that don't deserve the hype, but that's not...
Okay, yeah, you're off the show.
That's a story for another day. moving on to some DS stuff. Mike, what do we got here?
DS games we got, the biggest one, probably Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword.
So sick.
Beautiful.
Go to game trailers and watch the new trailer.
I mean, if there's one thing Itagaki knows how to do, he knows how to squeeze power out of a system, because it looks great. It
looks freaking amazing. Although, I'm not totally sold on the control. It looks kind of difficult. I mean, it's all stylus, which for like a precision action game like Ninja Gaiden doesn't seem like it might fit.
Well, our friend Dan Bloodworth played it a while back, and he said it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He enjoyed it, so.
I mean, yeah, if Dan says he liked it, it's probably a good game. I'm just a little skeptical still.
Yeah. Maybe not a quality title, but certainly, you know, Capcom is putting out two more Mega Man Star Force games. Ugh. And I only really want to mention them because they have fantastic names. They are Mega Man Star Force 2 Berserk X Dinosaur and Mega Man Star Force 2 Berserk X Shinobi. And I guess these are, you know, like red and blue version kind of dealios, but like, who came up with those names? Japan is completely insane.
You know, somewhere I can hear Robert De Niro milking
a cat.
Milking, not a cat. I think it's Mega Man.
Oh.
Robert De Niro?
Rob De Niro's milking Mega Man.
Oh, wait, I got that. That was a Meet the Parents reference, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why I said that. That's why
a fantastic Meet the Parents reference.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, as far as DS stuff, I think one of the biggest games that's going to be there are the Final Fantasy stuff. and Dragon Quest stuff. There's going to be Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6 at the show.
Those are the DS remakes.
Those are the DS remakes. Still in 2D, not 3D.
Dragon Quest 9 is going to be there, but not playable.
Right, they're going to show us some trailers and stuff. Which I think came as a surprise to people, because they were because it was supposed to be...
Out for Christmas this year.
It was supposed to be a holiday 2007 title. And now it's not even going to be playable. I don't know. Maybe they're shifting around some gameplay stuff.
Well, either way, delays with Square Enix, though. Par for the course. I mean,
that's true. Very true.
Yeah. More so the Square side, but the Enix side has been learning from their brethren.
Yeah. I mean, all stuff aside, Dragon Quest IX still looks great. It's going to be...
Yeah.
And being in one of those, like, a predominantly online game on the DS, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, customizable characters, it just looks really, really good.
Now, I'd like to ask what you guys would like, you know, sort of a breaking news, rumor, you know, megaton type stuff to see at DGS. Because I've got one that I still think could happen one day.
Skies of Arcadia 2.
No, not that. But I would love to see Skies of Arcadia 2. But now I'd like to know if you guys have any, like, you know, surprises you hope to appear.
You know, I can, honestly, the thing is, when you get a surprise from Nintendo, it's usually from Nintendo. And since they're not going
to be from Nintendo,
What third party is going to break out and say, we got to, you know...
Square, I think, could announce. Square is in a position to announce something at their presser.
What, like Final Fantasy 13?
No.
Crappy graphics edition?
No, what I still think is going to happen one day, and what I would hope to see at TGS is Kingdom Hearts coming to Nintendo consoles.
Oh, funny you should mention that. I heard the other day about how they're going to make a whole bunch of, like, Kingdom Hearts Zero projects.
Oh, great. So it's like the Final Fantasy III Fabula Novella Chrysalis
stuff. That's the dumbest name for anything ever.
It's their polymorphic content, which was a term they coined at E3 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Capcom coined, like, a decade ago when they just called it milking.
Right. Yeah, well, no. Like, they brought it to a whole new level. Like, it's like, okay, we're going to use, you know, books, online media, we're going to have, you know, games for mobiles, we're going to have games for consoles, we're going to have games for every console. It's, absolutely ridiculous.
Got to catch them all.
Yeah, really. But there's going to be some heavy hinting that there's going to be a Kingdom Hearts on PSP, as well as on Wii.
It just makes so much sense to me. Like, Disney has said on record that they are putting a lot of money and development behind Wii. They've bought out studios specifically to make games for the Wii and for the DS. And Square Enix is making, you know, their biggest title in Japan, at least, Dragon Quest IX, is coming to the DS. It just seems like all these things point to Kingdom Hearts coming to a Nintendo console, because both companies are pro-Nintendo.
Or more That's So Raven games.
Awesome. Yeah. Cannot wait.
You know what? I want to see the next High School Musical game. Hopefully it'll be like Vanessa Hudgens' Undressed 2000.
Oh, snap.
It's the witch hunting game.
Gotta love that girl's pelvis. It took me more than 2 minutes to find the pictures.
Wow. That's a good job. Yeah. With the internet? Come on.
With the internet. I mean, really.
You were using the internet.
I was using the internet.
Okay.
But anyway, so how do you move on from there, really? So, yeah. So you got all these different surprise stuff at TGS. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't get my mind off of Vanessa Hudgens.
Neither can Zac Efron, apparently.
Oh. So, what does that even mean?
It's her boyfriend.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, he's dreamy.
Oh, you would know, Mike.
Woo. Wow. TMI, anyway, Mike.
To
TMI.
To quote a line from Superbad, have you ever looked in his eyes? It was like the first time I listened to the Beatles.
Wow, you are...
Are you sure you haven't been playing Chowaniki this entire time? So, yeah. So, I mean, so, okay. So, Dan, what do you think you're going to see at a TGS that might surprise you?
I don't know. TGS is, you know, I don't know, just it being a Japanese-centric event, you know, we definitely don't get a ton of coverage, or as much as we would normally hope to for an American event, just because of the cost of sending people over there. I know a lot of blogs, you know, are lucky if they can send one to cover the event. But I'd just like to see, you know, obviously more Japanese 360 support. I mean, it doesn't help them in Japan, but it does help them over here in terms of, you know.
Yeah, people want those Japanese games here in America.
Yeah, I want to see content move from the PS3 to the 360. Like, I don't understand at this point why you'd be, you know, why if it was a single platform title, why you weren't doing multi-platform at this point, and, you know, just scrapping your code for PS3, taking the loss there, and spending, you know, a little bit more money and time on making a 360 version, the primary one.
It would sell more worldwide.
Right. It would sell more worldwide, at least at this point. You know, it's only, I think, 5 million worldwide for the PS3. And, you know, it's half the the audience right there. I mean, yeah, you might sell more in your home country, but come on. Let's realize that
when you really look at it, the only chance Microsoft of having a succeeding Japan is an utter like self implosion by the PlayStation 3, which doesn't look all that unlikely.
Right.
Well, if we're gonna bring up 360 for a moment, can I just say Ninja Gaiden 2 looks sweet?
Yeah.
So sweet.
Like I said before, Itagaki knows how to pull every last ounce of horsepower out of a system.
Which is funny, because he called the 360 the most powerful next-gen console.
Yeah, but he's always been an Xbox fanboy, which is ridiculous, but he always has been.
If you say so.
Well, he's got those, you know, those big glasses on all the time, man. He can't see stuff.
Maybe there's some rose tint in them.
Yeah. But I think it'd be green tint in his case, but...
Well, perhaps... So other things that we might see at TGS includes Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Which one's the new one? The DS, the Crystal Bears?
Yeah, I think that's the name of it.
It's Ring of Fates. And that actually got released recently in Japan to pretty good critical acclaim.
I think if it just got released, it'll probably show up at TGS just to drum up
sales. Oh, yeah. I remember reading on Game Life last year that they had the Street Fighter 2 game on cell phones, which had been out for like 3 years at that point.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Square's, you know, big. Has Square done a conference yet? I don't know how.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised there if we see, you know, some kind of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Crystal Bearers, the Wii game stuff at their presser, at least.
A trailer, probably.
It'll at least be another trailer.
Perhaps. The game's gone through some weird changes. I mean, when we first saw it, it was very much sticking to the original style, like little hobbit looking people. And then the latest one was way more in tune with, like, you know, very much more
adult-oriented. They look like Final Fantasy XII.
They do, actually. Yeah, it was a lot more mature as far as art style goes. So I'm kind of excited to see what's new on it. Hopefully it'll show up.
I just hope, as long as the bucket is still there. I mean, that's the gameplay element of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
God, I hate the bucket.
The bucket was great, though. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, I mean, not a lot of people really get a chance to fully enjoy it, but Dan and I did with our two other roommates, and that game is amazingly fun if you've got all the gear for it. It's just a giant fight, because everyone's got a different piece of information on every level, so you're always trying to hide, like, you know, which map you have, or whether or not you have, you know, like, the bad guy secrets or whatever, and the one guy will be like, no, we need to go this way, because that's the way the boss is, but it's not really, it's the way the treasure is.
No. You hold the bucket. Cast the spells. I can't. I don't have the heal.
I can't hold the bucket.
I'm gonna hold the bucket. I'm gonna hold the bucket. You heal. Sweet. I got the no cast spells. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you always got bonuses goals. Too. You got a bonus if you completed it, so it was great. Yeah.
The bonus would be like, don't cast spells, and that guy would be like, I'll take the bucket.
I mean, supposedly.
And everyone would be like, no, you can't have the bucket because then you're not gonna cast any spells, bitch.
I mean, supposedly there is no bucket in Crystal Bears.
Oh well, I'm not even gonna play it then.
Okay.
The bucket was the most enjoyable part of that game because it got a really good conversation started every single time you played.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some type of mechanic though that works its way in that makes it, you know, just as fun, because that was only, you know, the impetus for the fun that was the bucket. there will obviously be some type of mechanic that, you know, makes the multiplayer aspect fun.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the real aspect that made it fun was the fact that everyone had a different map on every level, and there was all those different goals.
I was also watching today some footage of Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, and I mean, it was all CG, so obviously, you know, nothing.
Did Sonic kiss any beautiful blonde women?
No bestiality this time, unfortunately. Which, you know, broke my Sonic fanboy heart.
What, that it wasn't there?
That it wasn't there. Man, let me tell you, nothing gets you through a hard night. Anyway. So and it looks all right. I mean, there are a shit ton of characters from Mario and Sonic there, so if you're into that stuff, it will definitely satisfy your appetite. But TGS, throughout the next week, we're going to see a lot of different stuff, and we'll be basically reviewing it next week. Tell you, you know, what was good, what was bad, what we were let down by, and why there need to be more games on Wii.
I'm going to call it when they announce Kingdom Hearts next week. I'm going to call it.
You're going to call it?
I called it now.
You're calling it now. Okay, fine. He called it, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, guys, if you want to send us a listener mail, that's rfn@nintendoreport.com. The first email we get will be read over as Mike's Crazy Mailbag. What's the password for this week?
It's Chips Ahoy.
Is it Chips Ahoy? Yeah. Why Chips Ahoy?
Because I had a bag of Chips Ahoy out on the table.
Oh, sweet. I'm so getting one before I leave. So, yeah. And you can also go over to iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast. You can leave a review if you so wish. You can also dig the podcast by going to NintendoReport.com and clicking on that little link. It takes 5 seconds. Why aren't you doing it?
Dan, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
While you're here.
Player One Podcast, PlayerOnePodcast.com. It's myself and three former EGM Ziff writers. We talk about all video games, not just Nintendo. So if you like PS3, like PC, maybe we'll talk about those
triple,
games.
That triple, that three like sit.
The PS triple.
Yeah.
Chad Warden's favorite console. And if you like Mac products, you should definitely invest in Apple. Great company.
Are you allowed to say stuff like that now? I don't know.
I'm just promoting Apple.
Who wouldn't love a shiny new Apple iPhone?
I wouldn't, because I already have one.
Well, I would. And I'm looking for that employee's discount, Dan. But yeah, guys, that actually is going to wrap up the show for this week. So thank you, Dan, for stopping by.
No problem. Glad to be aboard.
Yeah, it's all good. And Mike Sklans again for joining us.
Yeah, always here. Well, once again, I'm always here. I used to not always be here, but now I am.
He's here now. We've trapped him in for good. And I'm your host, Carl Castaneda. See you next week. The TurboGrafx CD games is the one with Shomaniki.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe that was the gayest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know. You look in the mirror every morning, right?
Oh.
And I did live with you for 3 years, so.
Ouch.
That doesn't burn as much when, you already got flambéed there, man.
Yeah, whatever.
And
this is what I lived with. I lived with Dan Dormer trying to come up with clever synonyms for like 3 years.
Clever synonyms? Don't you mean just, clever jokes in general?
Yeah, but also synonyms, specifically. Listen, I just gotta tell Carl, there was a time in the apartment where Dan Dormer was on such a string of horrible jokes that we put up a sign that said, number of days since Dan Dormer has said something funny.
That's why I prefer writing.
But the thing is, though, it motivated him, and he actually got funnier again. And we took the sign down. But there was like a solid month where we had the Dan Dormer has not been funny in X number of days, sort of like it was one of those industrial accident signs.
There's not been an accident. There's not been a Dan Dormer joke tragedy in this many days.
Yeah.